And welcome in After Hours. Jay Binkley, Nathan Williams producing the operation. Josh Vernier comes your way at 7:30 for, once again, Royals baseball game two against the Giants. What's up, Nathan?
Bink, how you doing, my man?
You want another hour and 49-minute game today?
Well, it'd be great for me. Self-serving, right?
Yeah.
You get out of here early.
We talked about it a little bit last night, but the short game times. I haven't really heard many people complain about it.
Not when you're watching, certainly not when you're working the post-game show, but not when you're watching at home either.
Well,
I think the only time
it
comes back to bite you, like we were talking about, is if you're out at the game, you know, and you're losing some of that entertainment value. But in general, this pitch clock thing, man, I mean, I don't think we talk about it enough. It's been a sweeping change and a successful change.
It's been fun. It's like the anti-Kenley Jansen rule. Did that guy ever drive you nuts when he pitched? Because I get that, but almost like you put that rule in for Kenley Jansen.
There was a game, I don't know the year.
Because he's the slowest dude in the history of baseball.
I'm going to guess 2015 or 2016, but I remember it being Dodgers Nationals in the playoffs. And I swear that game took 4.5 hours for a 9-inning baseball game. And I think Kenley pitched 2 innings in that game. But I was timing on my phone.
Yeah, shocker. Yeah.
And it was almost 40 seconds in between each pitch. I mean, it was unbearable.
He had to adjust himself, step off the mound, throw it first
and
a million times.
When he comes set, he does that thing where he herks and jerks like 7 times.
Yeah, he would take forever. Kenley Jansen was frustrating. Whenever he came in, it was like, it's okay to go ahead and have a beer now.
Yeah.
Go to the bathroom, some snacks, whatever, because Kenley's not going to throw a pitch.
I came up playing ball. I get it. I get the routine. But it was a fallacy that we need to scratch ourselves and take a practice swing.
If you played golf with this dude, it would drive you nuts.
Oh, yeah. Get back in the box. So, no, I'm with you. I'm for the change overall. But, you know, I can't dispute your point, which was, hey, if you're spending all this money to go out to the game, maybe you don't love that it's only an hour and 45 minutes.
Yeah. If you got Diamond Club tickets, Crown Club tickets for the night, all-you-can-eat type seats down the Crown Club, and all of a sudden, boom, last call. Last call for alcohol.
Sure. If it's all you can drink, I want that game to go into extras and get rid of the California rule, right?
Speaking of alcohol, and we'll talk about this later, but the Jay Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7965. I have a homework assignment for you. Top 5 sitcom characters of all time. Now, this might be tough for you, Nathan. You're a younger dude. Cheers is a great show. George Wendt died today. Norm from Cheers. He actually got his BA from Rockhurst right here in Kansas City. Jason Sudeikis is his nephew. His sister is Sudeikis' mom. So he has some connections here to Kansas City. But Norm was great. And I'll let you know where I think Norm kind of fits into the pantheon of sitcom characters. But yeah, man, it was baseball. He talked baseball time because, you know, Sam Malone played for the Red Sox and all that. It was fun. I don't know if your generation saw it. I don't know what year you were born, Nathan. But I have to imagine you're pretty young, where you've just enjoyed the reruns on Peacock or wherever you can watch them.
I missed the boat on Cheers. I missed it. And I've taken enough of a beating from, you know, my times that I've subbed in for Fesco and Dusty. That's Bob's favorite. I mean, you say the word Cheers, segment's over.
I know Bob's a big fan of that.
Yeah. And so, no, I've taken my lumps here on the station for not having watching Cheers. But I do know about, I mean, I've seen the clips of Norm, and I get the gist. But yeah, I'm not well-versed enough to talk about
it. I am curious, though, who your favorites are. We'll get to it later on, 7 o'clock.
We'll do that
7:15, leading right into Vern. Want to have a little fun before Vern takes over for Vern's On Deck show. Have a little levity to the situation, your top sitcom characters of all time. And again, sitcoms may not as popular now. It's all streamed and everything else nowadays, where you didn't really grow up in the generation of watching Cheers or Coach or Married with Children or all those shows. Man, I'm pretty sad about that because old Norm, man. I see people tweeting about it, having a beer at the bar. Nothing like going to the bar, your favorite watering hole, grabbing that stool, getting that beer, and carrying on. That's how Norm lived life, man. Every day, you go and have conversations at the bar. We used to do a segment back when I did the big show here, when it was me and Vern and J.C. Pearson, called the Barstool Debate. And we did it about once a week, and we debated things that you debate at bars. Whereas, like, you have a touchdown. It's 1 yard away. You can have any running back in the history of the game. Who are you giving the ball to? Who are you giving that ball to? You know, is it anybody? Is it Marcus? Are you going someone thinner, like Marcus Allen, who slithered, you know, kind of to the goal line?
That's who came to my mind.
Are you going that direction? You going like a Marshawn Lynch type guy? Who are you going with in that situation. So, or O.J. Simpson, how can you get any running back you want in the history of the game for 1 yard? Earl Campbell, I don't care. Anybody could to get the end zone. Where would you go?
Yeah, Allen was the first guy that came into my mind because of that elusiveness or you know, the ability to maybe go, you know, up and over the pile as well. It might show my youth, but it might be Derrick Henry, Marshawn Lynch,
Jim Brown,
or even. I'd go with one of those old like fullback running back types from like the 80s, like, you know, Allstott, not to Allstott. Who was the guy for the Dolphins when they were good? I'm blanking on his
Larry
name.
Larry Zonka?
Zonka, yeah, or Allstott. Maybe a guy like that.
Somebody like that. But anyway, we'll talk about that later. 7:15 or so. We'll look at the top five sitcom characters of all time. I'm curious about your list. Maybe I don't care if you put five together, just your favorite sitcom characters. I'm sure you have a few of them in mind. But the Kansas City Royals tonight, 3-1 win last night. It's one of those games, Nathan, that you scratch your head on. I mean, everything was going against the Chiefs. You think Kansas City gets all the calls? You're one of the conspiracy theorist people about the Chiefs get all the calls? Well, the Royals didn't get any last night. Bubic had a strikeout, and it turned out to be a walk. It was actually a strikeout. 100%. Even the batter thought it was a strikeout. Texas base, Bubic gets him out anyway. He's been amazing. What, 0.36 ERA? We're looking up what he's done in May?
In May, yeah.
He's had four starts in May. Chris Bubic pitched to Jim last night. He's given one run. One run and four starts in May. 0.36 ERA in May. Go ahead. There's no need for ballots. That's the Royals pitcher of the month. It's not even close. It is that dude. Because everybody's talking about Reagans and Lugo this year. They're, you know, two top four guys last year in the AL Cy Young. But Chris Bubic, man, you don't scratch your head on that. That was one of my big questions to begin the season. Well, like this rotation only goes as far as maybe Bubic and Lorenzen, you know, kind of there towards the end of the rotation, what these guys can do. But man, and then Walk is having a fantastic year as well. And so all of a sudden, Reagans and Lugo don't have to carry the bait.
You know, before the month of September last year, which was not good for the club, they still snuck into the playoffs, and we know how that went. At the end of August, the Royals had four of, I believe, the top 15, the best 15 ERAs in baseball last year amongst qualified pitchers. Like, that rotation was dynamite. I thought it was a little bit foolish to say that Lugo and Walker, who either hadn't had seasons like that or it had been a while, you know, would do that again this year. It was out of my mind that there would be an improvement from the number four guy in our rotation. That's what we have.
Well, we know they can hit. Last night they win that game 27th in runs. But as you sit right now, pitching number two ERA in baseball, all of baseball, National League, American League, doesn't matter, number two. Number one in the American League as far as starters plus relievers, all right? Starters, number three in baseball, just for the starters, number three in baseball, number two in the American League. Relievers, not as good as starters, number five in relief appearances. And, you know, they've gotten rid of Stratton and guys like that, but number three in the AL. But as we sit here right now, only one team has more wins in the American League than the Kansas City Royals. Like, as bad as this hitting is, as much as you scratch your head with what's going on with the Royals at times, it is weird. Just think about it if this team had an offense. Just think about it right now if Sal Perez, you know, was somewhat the guy that he used to be. Think about if Vinny was on a tear again like he's been in his career, which he could be at some point. And then you got Bobby Witt Jr. and all the pressure in the world's on him. It's why I do want to see Jack called up to this team at some point. I do. But I don't want all the pressure on him. I don't want that guy to feel all that pressure. But as bad as this lineup's been, as far as scratching runs across, and last night people were very upset that FanDuel Sports Network missed the home run by Vinny. They missed it. They missed it. They went to commercial or something like that. I had to remind people. 96.5 had it on, man. 96.5 doesn't blink, man. Have that app ready, man. Have the phone ready. You know what? If boom, they go to commercials, hit that app because it's on that app and it's free. Or go out to your car and listen wherever. But it's 96.5 FM now. Get on your smart device, your Alexa, your Google Home. I don't care. Ask Siri to play it. But 96.5 didn't drop the ball. That was FanDuel dropping the ball, not the radio home of the Royals.
You saying tap that app if you want to watch, if you want to listen to Royals baseball? That's a thing. That's got some momentum behind it.
To me, that was a good commercial for 96.5 last night.
Yeah.
It's like all this complaining, and I'm sitting there going, didn't tweet it out. I thought about it. And I was like, well, we didn't drop the ball because I didn't want to, you know, throw any shade towards FanDuel or anything. And I was like, yeah, that's fine. Look, you know what I did? I just grabbed the app and I tap the app, right?
That's what you got to do.
Okay, they're not going to have some technical difficulties. I don't need to see 5,000 tweets about technical difficulties. I'll just flip the app on, and I'll listen to the Royals radio broadcast, as you'll be doing tonight, doing both, actually.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
probably, and you can just listen to the game, because you're not going to have technical difficulties tonight, Nathan. Knock on wood. Well,
you know, first of all, I would dote on the Royals radio network as well, and these guys have been absolutely great this year. I don't know how much everyone is listening compared to watching on TV, but there is something about the cohesion that is growing between Jake and Stu and Denny. The longer Jake's
been
in the booth,
unreal.
These are some phenomenal broadcasts that are happening. But I tell you what, my favorite thing about FanDuel, and I can't excuse the crash last night, is that when they go to break, I don't have to listen to that freaking basketball bouncing or whatever, you know, the whole time they're on break that Bally had. That drove me up the wall.
That's my favorite gambling site at this point, too. I love, again, it's no knock on TV. It's just I saw 5,000 tweets about technical difficulties. It's very simple, man. Baseball is very simple. It's on the radio, too. And you know what? Baseball sounds good on the radio. Not a huge fan of football on the radio. I don't listen to it very often, although I will turn the volume down with the broadcasters lately and try to sync it up as well as I can.
Yeah, well,
to hear the voice of Mitch Holtis and Danon and Kling and those guys.
Yeah,
I'd rather listen to them than the TV broadcast. So I will listen to both. Matter of fact, when I sit and do the post game a lot, I'll do them both. You watch it on TV, obviously, so you can see the plays and everything for the post game calls and whatever you have. But I'll listen to the calls of Mitch Holtis. Like, I'll listen to that. Okay, we've been very blessed in this town to have both Denny Matthews and Mitch Holtis at the same time. I mean, these are icons. These are Hall of Famers. Denny's already in the Hall of Fame. Mitch is going there. To have two Hall of Famers call on your favorite teams at the same time, that's a luxury, man.
I mean, and how about some flowers for Ryan LaFever, who's been here almost 25 years. And
Ryan knows the best,
isn't
man.
Isn't slowing down either. And you know, Jake, I know he's new.
And Steve Stewart, man. Props Steve Stewart.
I know. And we're not paid to say any of this. I truly enjoy the broadcast that much.
And we have to carry the Royals to the Chiefs, but you know what? We like it anyway, because these are good dudes, man. And you love hearing these guys call games for your team, your town, and your teams. Mm-hmm. And with the Royals playing well, it brings you back. I was at the 1980 World Series, Nathan. I was at the 80 World Series as a kid. Been listening to Denny a long time, man. We used to have an AM radio, or had to, you know, it was tough to find one at times. You had to buy a Walkman. That's some of the, it was a cassette player. People used to have to be cool, my friend. Nathan, the players used to walk in with Walkmans on. Like, that's the music that they'd listen to when they work out and stuff. It'd be cassette tapes in there. Those are relics at this point. But you're mowing the lawn. You want to listen to the Royals. You're not going to sit there and watch every single game. You listen to the ball game. You grab a beer. You're sitting at the grilling, whatever. You listen to it, the baseball. And that's a lot of fun. But this team, despite the hitting, and we'll hear from J.J. Piccolo. He talked to Cody and Goldie. He does it a couple times a month, but a lot of great stuff from J.J. I thought he was awesome. Talks about the decisions of when to bring Jack up. You making the right decision or not? I mean, I always go back to something Ed Yost used to say. You think about a decision you want to make, and then you wait a week to do it. And just make sure that's the right decision, which that makes all the sense in the world. And now you see why Ned was such a good manager.
Well, and I think Jack was about a week later than I thought he would be getting to AAA, so that would make sense that logic was followed when it comes to promoting him.
They probably thought about it a week ago. Yeah. Hey, let's move him up and sit there, you see how he does, and you think about it for a week.
Makes sense for the timetable I thought they had for him.
Yeah, so there you go. Here's another one from 913. Brings our radios to the game and listen to them while at the game. That's a great idea.
Never gets old.
I see a lot. There's one guy that used to go out to all the games, so I'm in 14 and 15. He had a transistor that he had ever since like the 70s, man. And he's carried that radio ever since with him to the games. He's got all that signatures on it and everything, and he just carries that radio around with him to all the games.
I mean, they can paint a picture for you, and then if you're adding that to the smells and the sights of the ballpark, yeah, that's an unmatched sports experience right there, is headphones in, listening to the radio at the ball game.
When I first got in the radio, we gave away tickets to Fan Fest at the time. It used to be at Overland Park. Believe it or not, back in the day, my first time was on the radio. It was out there before I went downtown to Bartle. And remember they had that, they kept moving it back because they could do the partitions and take them away. And they eventually had to take them all away. Then they had to have time entrances to get in. And now they don't, you know, they do it at the ballpark now and stuff like that. It's much different. It was great. I like FanFest how it was because I like seeing how there was nobody wearing Royals anything in the beginning, and then it was Royals everything by the end. You asked 10 different people who your favorite Royal was, and you get 10 different answers.
I mean,
they were that popular. Lokane or Eske or Moose or Haas. I mean, Perez back in the day, Danny Duffy, whatever. I mean, people, Wade Davis. I mean, people liked everybody.
Yeah. As a kid, going to that fan fest at the Overland Park Convention Center, that was a great way to get up close access to the Royal. I mean, your favorite players. It was not the event that it is now. And then you're right, it went downtown, and now we have the rally at the stadium. No, I remember those days well.
There was a lady that used to listen to all the Royals. She still does. Listens to all the Royals game, and she called once in a while, but she was blind. And so her only way to enjoy the games was through the eyes of Denny Matthews. And so going to the fan fest, it wasn't about meeting any of the players. She couldn't care less about making the play. She wanted to meet Denny Matthews. Like, she wanted to meet Denny because he painted the picture of the ballpark in the scene every night. And I thought, man, that's pretty cool. So we gave her fan fest tickets and everything. So it wasn't about the autograph. It wasn't about meeting the players. It was about meeting Denny Matthews.
Gives me chills.
So that was pretty cool that he brought the whole scene. So that's what play-by-play is supposed to be like. Anyway, coming up next, J.J. Piccolo, the general manager at the Kansas City Royals, explains about this offense, what they're looking for, plus the decision to move Jack from AA to AAA. We'll do that next. Welcome back, Jay Binkley, Nathan Williams. After Hours, Josh Fernier comes your direction at 7:30, Royals and Giants, Game 2, the Giants 28-20. The Royals 27-22, Michael Lorenzen on the hill tonight for the Kansas City Royals, and listening to Vern is always entirely fun. I love this night baseball, man. Like, I love 8:45 starts. Get everything done. You sit back, chill out, you watch the game. I'm sure that you might have other opinions on night games, Nathan. But, you know, if you're home and it's West Coast, why not? They have an afternoon game tomorrow. But night games are fun.
Baseball at any time of the day is good with me, Bink.
I know you're a fan.
I'd prefer those 6:40 starts or something else. You know, leaving the ballpark and it's still daylight outside. You know, it's crazy.
Well, it's a good thing they were on the road yesterday because they probably would have been postponed. Like Minnesota, sure. And Cleveland, that game's been postponed again today.
Yeah. It's going to be a fun – now they'll play a doubleheader tomorrow. They'll finish the first game.
Yeah.
Play a second tomorrow, and now it's a doubleheader in September as well.
So, in that game, so,
you know, that will definitely have implications on the Royals' playoff standings, you know, and
hey, you want both to lose.
They'll be playing twice. we'll be in that dilemma for sure.
Yeah, you will. It's interesting, Minnesota. They've been on a hell of a run. I get it. But again, Minnesota to me seems like a 12-game win streak, 12-game losing streak. Seems like Minnesota's capable of doing everything. So we'll wait and see on that. J.J. Piccolo is the executive vice president and the general manager of the Kansas City Royals. He joins Cody and Gold about twice every month, and he was on again today. And it's good stuff from J.J. Here is about the conversations that go on to add to this offense that needs added to, because, again, I'm a big fan of windows, man. And right now that window with this pitching is wide open. Can't guarantee you they're going to have this pitching ever again. I mean, it is going down right now as one of the best that they've ever had, to be honest with you. So it's tough. You don't want to see that window get passed by. But here's JJ on the conversations.
Well, internal, they're going on all the time. I mean, that is a constant. I don't think we go more than 6 hours without somebody making a suggestion, throwing something in the Slack channel, an idea or two. Waiver claims, et cetera. But you know, when they become real discussions, I still think we're a little ways away. There's only a couple teams that are right now probably willing to talk about any of their players. If you're 5-6 games under 500, you know, even at this point, maybe 10 games. I mean, the Tigers, I think, inspired a lot of teams last year with what they did from August 1st on. I mean, they were kind of, yeah, you know, left, like they're gone, they're out of it, and next thing you know, they're in the playoffs. So I think, you know, teams want to hold their players longer in case you go on a run like the Twins just went on. So I think we're a little ways away from really having discussions that pick up, but I can promise you the internal discussions are never ending.
And it's tough, too, now with the extra wild card teams because, again, if you're 5 games back, you still think you have a chance. I mean, there's only a few teams that don't have a chance in hell. That's Chicago and that's Colorado. The rest of them are sitting there going, we go on some kind of run, we've got a chance. But here's JJ on the base running struggles because we've seen those. That stuff's real. Again, if the get the defense better, get the base running better, and certainly bring the bats. Imagine how good this team could be. It's already good. It's already only one team in the American League with a better record, and that's in the division, the Detroit Tigers. So just imagine how much better this team could be with, you know, the base running stuff, which really a head scratcher. When you see bad base running, it drives you nuts.
No, that's frustrating. You know, fans have a right to be upset about that. We've made some poor decisions on the bases. We're trying to be aggressive, you know, because we're trying to score more runs. You know, regardless of what anybody tells you, when an offense is struggling, guys feel it. So now you're pressing to try to do more. And last night we ran into three outs. Last night, you know, that we gave them an inning's worth of outs on a line drive double play, a pickoff, and you know, a first to third that really wasn't a first to third, that there was no way anybody was going to make a first to third on that play. So we gave him three outs. But I think that's a sign of an offense and honestly, like human beings pressing because they want to do more and they want to score more runs. We've always said, if we're going to make mistakes on the bases, be aggressive. I'll put those plays in a semi-aggressive, but they're pretty easy reads in last night's case. And we got to be better than that. And those guys know that.
It's an honest assessment right there. Need to be better at that. It's GM saying they got to be better at that, because definitely fans at home, you're watching the game, get frustrated with the ouch that didn't happen on the base pass with the Kansas City Royals. It's a very frustrating thing sometimes to watch the Royals. I understand. They're trying to be aggressive. They're trying to score runs. I mean, they know that scoring runs has been tough on this team, but again, there's little things to clean up. You start cleaning those things up, it's like, look out for this team. Already look out for this team. Again, second best record in the American League. Here's JJ, before we get to his thoughts on Jack, here's what he's thinking about Lugo and Reagans and kind of their status right now when they expect to get him back.
Very confident that it's, you know, very likely. I mean, who knows what can happen, you know, during these 15 days. But, you know, right, if we were betting on this, we would expect them to pitch in 2 weeks. You know, they'll get their 15 days. With Cole, it was just a, you know, really a fatigue tightness issue. It wasn't a re-injury to his groin. And with Seth, he's got a little swelling in his finger that has already gone down. And we expect them to make their starts, you know, I think it's the end of June or end of May, early June, when they can come off the IL. And we would be disappointed if they weren't able to make those starts. So luckily they're minor, and we felt like at this point, this is about the entire season. Let's not push through these things and potentially lose them for even more time.
You just take your time. You don't want to push it. You get the St. Joe sensation, Noah Cameron, doing his deal for the Kansas City Royals. You have Chris Bubich out there looking like a Cy Young in the American League. What I looked at FanDuel. He was seventh on there. Was he seventh on yours? You looked up too, the odds.
Yeah, he was seventh on DraftKings, plus 3,000 to win the award right now.
And nobody knows his name, but they will at the All-Star game. Don't know his name, better ask somebody. Because here's JJ on that guy, Chris Bubich.
He's commanding the ball exceptionally well. You know, he's got above average stuff. He's got three pitches. And when you're commanding those three pitches, you know, it's hard as a hitter to defend against that. And last night he had that backdoor breaking ball going that really just froze a lot of hitters. And he was landing it very, very consistently. And when pitchers can do those types of things, they got a chance to have great outings. But with Chris, he's always been a guy that prepares well, studies well, very intelligent guy. And, you know, a lot of what we saw before he got injured and then what we saw last year out of the bullpen is what gave us the confidence that we could count on him to be in the rotation. Now, did we expect him to be pitching to a 1.74 or whatever it is right now? Probably not. But we expected him to pitch well, and we had a lot of confidence that he would. You know, I think what he's doing right now, I mean, it's really, really exceptional. After the game last night, you know, I think you have asked me this question before, is he have an innings limit on the year? You know, right now he's on pace to throw about 195 innings on the year. But the real reason why that he's on that pace is he's been so efficient with his pitches, even in striking guys out, that he's getting deep into games. You know, usually guys that strike hitters out, their pitch counts get high. It's more of a 5 to 6 inning, but he's been so efficient with his pitches that, you know, he's getting into the seventh inning regularly. And we had a hard time after the game trying to come up with innings where he was really, really in heavy traffic. He got in some traffic last night, but he hasn't had a stressful inning the entire season. So he's just matured as a pitcher. You know, obviously we're really happy that he's done that. And, you know, we look forward to him pitching every fifth day.
Yeah, finally the Orioles have not one, not two, but three guys kind of to say, you know, I don't need to do anything. It's appointment baseball. I need to watch this guy pitch. Much different than back in the day, there might have been one guy. Like, oh, you're scheduling things around to watch Zach Greinke pitch. You know, back before he was moved and all that. But again, Chris Bubich, homegrown pitching talent, that's what you want. It's exactly what you want from him, but that's been a breath of fresh air. Here was JJ when he was on today again. The full interview is on Odyssey On Demand, 96.5 On Demand there, or 610, wherever you want to get your podcast. But JJ Piccolo. But here was the full thoughts about Jack and making the decision to move him up to Omaha.
Yeah, well, to be honest, like, nothing changed. He just continued to dominate Double A baseball. You know, it was really good to see. He's, you know, we all know he hits the ball extremely hard, and that's his, you know, superpower. But we started to see some improvement in some of the decisions he was making on what pitches to hit and what pitches to lay off. And quite honestly, the level just wasn't good enough for him the way he was playing over an extended period of time. So we thought it was time for him to take the next step. You know, Triple A, the pitching's better. Pitchers can game plan, but more importantly, follow a game plan better than Double A pitchers because they're older, smarter, more experience, and that's the right next step in his journey to the big leagues.
When you guys drafted him last summer, I mean, if I would have told you then, like, the ideal quote-unquote timeline even just to get to AAA, like, is this kind of best case scenario for him to get up to AAA this quickly?
Absolutely. I mean, it's, you know, over however many years I've done this, I don't know how many players that we've had in their first full season that go to AA and just really dominate the league and now are in AAA. Obviously, Brandon Finnegan back in 2014 was a different situation. He was a pitcher, and we brought him right to the big leagues pretty much after a stop in Double A. But, you know, this is the first that I can recall, and just happy that he's doing what he's doing. I mean, a lot of credit goes to our scouting department in identifying Jack with the sixth pick last year and have a lot of confidence in moving forward and selecting him. And Jack has exceeded expectations. You know, we knew he was good. But until he gets out there and plays, you don't know how good he really is or how long it's going to take for him to get to AAA. But certainly he's on a fast track, clearly.
I know even in the front office, as you're getting a little bit of the comparison game, like our morning show host mentioned, Adam Dunn. What, for you guys, who do you kind of envision Jack Caglione, who does he remind you of in the big league levels? Is there anybody that he kind of comps to?
Yeah, I mean, Adam Dunn, I can see because of the power, but Jack is going to be a more complete hitter than Adam. Adam struck out a lot. I mean, very good major league player. I think he's going to be able to control the zone better than that. You know, honestly, like, what we hope he develops into, and I'm not saying this is who he is, this is what we would like to see, is some version of a Pete Alonso. I mean, that's, you know, a left-handed version of Pete Alonso. Pete makes a lot of good plate decision or pitch decisions. He's got massive power. You know, he's turned himself into a pretty good defender at first base. I mean, and coincidentally, those two went to the same high school, you know, so it's kind of weird. You know, that would be excellent for us, you know, and really, you know, the thing we don't want Jack to do is to try to be anybody but himself. I know that the comp game, we do it in the scouting world all the time, and it's just part of it. But Jack needs to be himself. You know, whatever version that of Jack that it allows him to be the best major league player he can be, that's what we'd be happy with that.
So JJ on Jack. I'll say this, Nathan. You know, the comp game, you know, it's always fun that, you know, as fans, you say, well, it reminds me of certain players. Well, they do it too. They might not always admit it, but they always admit it until you break off into your own dude. Like Mahomes, he got the comparisons early on, and it was clear it's just different, and he's going to be the one compared to at this point. Because I heard through the draft process, don't you? Oh, this kind of reminds me of Mahomes. Like, you hear the whole very Mahomesian deal. But Pete Alonso, you'll see him July 11th at Kauffman Stadium, the polar bear for the Mets. That's a great comparison. But something I talked to Vern about was, you know, he came out of the SEC. We know the guy can pitch as well, so we don't have to worry about his arm in the outfield when he's out there because dude can heave it. But the one thing, too, is, like, call me an SEC homer all you want, but a lot of people will say the SEC baseball is like A-ball anyway. So it's essentially like playing minor league baseball when you're playing in the SEC. They travel better than A-ball teams, stay in nicer places, fly in nicer jets, and the quality is there. So I don't know how you look at it, but I look at playing in the SEC and being a college player, kind of like you kind of had that lower minor league experience under your belt.
I think there's something to that. It does sound elitist to say, but I think if you are more than a casual college baseball fan, you can acknowledge that it's a step above the rest of the NCAA. I'm thankful that we are not hearing the whispers about the pitching like we were after he was drafted last season.
Oh, dude, I once talked to Dayton Moore at the season back when he was GM, and I said, what about Brady Singer came out of the SEC of Florida, same as Jack. And he goes, yeah, and Dayton was sitting there going, yeah, they fly better, they travel better and everything than our A-ball teams do. So he says, yeah, he's kind of getting used to this.
I don't want to hijack this. Does ESPN on your screen in there? Because they have the pregame on for the Thunder and the Timberwolves. They're on the court. They've got Malika Andrews, Stephen A. Smith, and Kendrick Perkins is about three times the size of this little chair they have him sitting in. You got to see this.
Oh, I'll flip
it
over.
Try to catch it in the break.
I had it on MLB Network. I'll flip it over to see Kendrick there. But anyway, there was JJ Piccolo today talking about everything Kansas City Royals. Coming next, there's official rule changes in the NFL. All the owners are meeting in Eagan, Minnesota. Tomorrow they'll vote on the tush push, the onside kick, and a lot of different things. But there is a rule that's been implemented today, and I actually like it. We'll discuss that next. And welcome back. Jay Binkley, Nathan Williams, producing the operation. Guess who's in the lineup tonight, batting third for Omaha?
Dusty's man, probably.
Jack.
Right? Yeah.
John Rave, the Nick Lofton, then Jack Caglione.
I thought you might be setting me up for an MJ Melendez or something.
It's right Jack. Okay. It's Jack. Omaha. Salt Lake, they're playing. Salt Lake Bees. Yeah, Jack's playing tonight. How about the NFL? You know, I don't know if you knew this or not, but the NFL owners are meeting in Eagan, Minnesota. That's the end of the spring meetings, right? There's a few things on the docket to discuss for the owners. We'll get the rest of them tomorrow. That's when they're going to vote on the amended tush push now, which the new language is no matter where you're on the field, not just push the quarterback, but pushing players. That's why only 16 out of the 32 teams initially voted for it, and they typically won't bring things to vote if they don't think it's going to pass, right? So they amended the language. And I always wondered, too, Nathan, like, are they going to amend this language? Are you going to say you can't do it behind the line of scrimmage, but you can 4 to 5 yards down the field? But here's the thing. All teams do it. Your Kansas City Chiefs live on this because they have mobile guards, a mobile center that can get out and about. No, they're not going to get behind the quarterback and push the quarterback because they don't do that. But how often do you see Pacheco or Kareem Hunt, and you'll see Kelsey coming up behind him, or Creed Humphrey or Trey Smith, and they'll push him forward or push him into the end zone because the Chiefs have lived on doing this.
If the vote for the tush push ban passes, I would hope it is specific enough to say pushing the quarterback behind the line of scrimmage.
But they amended the language down to all, so we'll see what happens.
Well, I disagree with that.
I don't think it's going to pass.
I hope it doesn't.
I hope it doesn't either, because the Chiefs, they literally do this a lot.
And I don't think
they have the advantage because of mobile guards in the center, like I said.
I don't think the ban should pass at all. I mean,
I don't either.
Stop it. The Chiefs scouted Josh Allen. They stopped the quarterback sneak.
Sometimes you got to be smarter, and the Chiefs had to be smarter than their teams, like blocking the field goal against Denver. Tendencies. That's what they did. So you win one score games. But that's going to be tabled. I thought this was going to be language, too. I said, well, just think about this, though. This, to me, I brought this up months ago. I said, this is beyond the tush push, though. Because if you ban that, are you banning the other stuff, which now it looks like they are? Are you going to ban the other stuff? Because the Chiefs do it just as much as anybody else. They'll push the player forward. So this comes out tomorrow. We'll see. The onside kick rule is going to be there. If you paid attention to the onside kick rule, they say now that you can, you'll be able to do it anytime if you're trailing, not necessarily the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
It's still stupid to me because you're announcing you're doing it.
I hate the declaration rule. I hate that.
But here's the deal. So here's where they're going to change it a little bit. So right now, the ball is always kicked at 35, right? But you have the restraining line for onside kicks. And guys, typically, a yard back from that. Now they can be all the way up front. This new rule puts them up a little bit closer to where you're kicking onside kicks and maybe recover them easier. So it actually improves their odds because you're moving them up closer to the restraining line. So there's some give and take. That's actually some take that it can be a little bit easier to do it, but you're still announcing you're doing it. No more surprise at the end of the half. Maybe you have the lead. You just want to keep putting your foot on the gas, and you see things on film, and you're like, you know what? We study this better than the other teams. Let's do it. So we'll see about this rule coming up tomorrow. But the one rule that did pass today, not only that, Nathan, it passed 32-0. It's where you see every team on the same page. But they were regarding America. They were regarding the Olympic Games. They were regarding flag football in the Olympics. It's going to be a 5-on-5 format, 10-man teams. It's going to be limited to one player per team. You can't have more than one on said team. Obviously, you can't have somebody represented from every team. The Olympics actually start July 14th. I don't know the scheduling, whether they're going to have the flag football and stuff like that, men's and women's. But there will be probably training camp going on during this. So this, I think, was a great idea for the NFL. There's going to be provisions. You say, what about injuries? Here's what ESPN puts. Permission for any player under NFL contract to participate in the tryouts. A limit of one player per NFL team on each national team participating. Allowing, in addition, the team's designated international player to play for his home country. A purchase of league-wide insurance policies to provide injury protection. So here you go. Injury protection for any injured player while participating in an authorized flag football activity related to the Olympics. A salary cap credit for any player who is injured. An expectation Olympic flag football teams will establish medical staffs and field services that comply with NFL standards. Keep in mind, there was 31 teams that participated. U.S. has won the last 6 gold medals. They don't always win it. So there are countries that are good at flag football. And flag football is interesting, too. Like, just to assume NFL players could go right into it and dominate it. How many times have you watched, I don't know, maybe you have, maybe you haven't, but if you watched regular flag football teams play NFL All-Stars, because they used to do that from time to time, and they would always get beat. Like, the NFL All-Stars would get beat by flag football teams. They would get beat.
Yeah, but how good are the international specialized flag football players?
That's all they do.
You know what I mean?
It's all they do. They know each other well. They know the tendencies inside and out of what to do, where to go. And yes, I think there's certain guys that would, you know, having mobility at quarterback is a big help in this situation. Just to automatically assume if it was tackle football, I'd give it to the United States hands down without anything. But I think it's fun. I think we're still going to win the gold. And you know what? Why not let these guys get the gold medal? Because these guys are excited. Like Justin Jefferson, these guys are excited. Hey, a chance to represent our country and win a gold medal. Why shouldn't they? They're the best of the best. We have NBA players winning gold medals. Soon, next Olympics, you're going to have NHL players once again because they were doing it before they went back and reverted to the college players in the minor league players playing, but they're going to have the NHL guys too. Why not the NFL? Why not have the NFL players able to get a gold medal? I think it's great. If it's a sport, hey, there's a lot of goofy sports in the Olympics, no question. I'd rather see regular football, but it's flag football. Is there injury risk? There's injury risk walking across the street.
And I'm not worried about, I guess I wasn't concerned about the ability to cut or, you know, prevent your flag from, because obviously the NFL players will, you know, they'll have some catching up to do when it comes to that. But aren't Ja'Marr Chase and Brock Bowers just going to go leap over the guy from France trying to cover them and catch? Like, isn't it going to be
a good
that
chance?
Simple?
Good chance.
Am I short-sighted there?
No, I don't think so. I think they're going to do anything possible to win. But, I mean, I think there will be. I mean, obviously, this is the best of the best. But some of these nations, they actually play pretty good in flag football.
Okay.
I mean, they get together and they play. But as far as the history of this league, you go back to USA flag football and who have been the winners of this event. It's been the U.S. the last 6 years, but it's not a given that they always win. I'm excited about it, though. And here's Mahomes. He was on with the Drive. During the season, it's when they used to join Carrington Harrison. You know, Carrington Harrison and Rob Brenton, Patrick Mahomes came on all the time. But here was what he said back in the day, back in November, as far as would he play in the Olympics?
Oh, I definitely want to. But I've seen some of those guys play the flag football, and they're a little faster than I am. I know there's not like a lot of linemen blocking for you. So I'll be 31, 32 years old. So if I can still move around, then I'm going to try to get out there and throw the football around, maybe in L.A. Just don't tell Coach Reed or Veach or anybody.
I'm for it, man. I'm for it. Let him go out there and do it. I will say this, though. You got to come together, man. Everybody's got to get along and get together because it's a timing sport, man. It's a very timing-oriented deal. And these guys that play flag football, it's all they do. They know each other inside and out. So sometimes those guys can be pretty competitive too. But it's going to be tryouts, man. May the best play. You know what? When I'm watching the Olympics, you want the best of the best playing. Whether it's NFL, whether it's not NFL, give me the best of the best. That's the way I think we should do it. Yeah. But coming up next, there's an interesting poll out that involves the Kansas City Chiefs fans. We'll discuss that next. Welcome back to The Fan. After RJ Binkley, Nathan Williams producing the operation. Yes, text line, pro golfers do play as well. Matter of fact, it was Xander Schauffele winning the gold medal in 2020, only to have Scotty Scheffler win the gold medal in 2024 at Paris. It's been fun watching, man. I think Olympic golf is fun, man. It's basically like another major. I mean, yeah, the best of the best in the world playing, but yeah, that's fun. So let the pros play. Hey, let the best of the best play. And other sports, other nations are playing this too now. So matter of fact, other nations have won. America's won the last, five or six world championships. So they're better than that, but hey, so what, man? Some nations are good at some sports, and some are better than others at different sports. So why not add this to the Olympics? People do play it around the globe. I would like to see mixed martial arts in the Olympics at some point. I don't know if we'll get to that point or not, because it's tough to have a fight, then fight again. So you didn't have a team of guys or gals to fight, you know, and then you choose which round you're going to be fighting. And you hope, you know, if you have your preliminary guys, you hope they make it to the next round. So then you have your fighter, and you may save your best for the gold medal match. But hopefully mixed martial arts teamwork. I'd love to see that in the Olympics.
I'm pro adding whatever you want into the Olympics. I don't know what it is. I don't know what...
They're thinking about pole dancing, man. Honestly.
Do it. I mean, speed walking. Whatever you want to put in there, I'm going to watch it. I don't know what awakens in me during those couple of weeks every 2 years.
Feeling your loins.
Something like that. I will watch it if there is if it is an Olympic sport. I'm locked in.
I'm hooked on them. I'm watching, you know, late night, the talk shows, whatever. I hate when it's on. Well, I do get I do like to watch it live, man. I mean, I know they do the replays and stuff like that during prime time, but if the time zones don't match up, these things are on much earlier. It's very tough now with today's technology not to know who won or not. You know, and if we get blasted, it's not fun to watch.
That's a great point.
But if you win the gold, I mean, it's tough not to get the updates. Get the updates on my phone or whatever. And when you see gold, it's like, yeah, let's go that direction. By the way, if I ask you, Nathan, with your history, and obviously it's a full history, you're also an attorney, so you'd be a good man to ask on this, not because of drinking, but because of common sense.
Okay. Doing this on the air? Okay.
Yeah. Well, Kansas City fans, do you consider drunks at all? They do have some issues out there.
Which venue are they currently at, these fans?
Arrowhead.
Absolutely.
Not so fast, my friend, as Lee Corso would say.
But you got a study or something? You got some stats over there?
Yeah, it's a study. I saw bouncing around, and this was, you know, and then back on the New York Post, the drunkest in the NFL, the Tennessee Titans, believe it or not, 0.093%. The Pittsburgh Steelers, number two, 0.088%. The Colts, 0.085%. The Falcons tied with them at 0.085, and the Saints, 0.080. There's your drunkest fans in the NFL. Now the soberest, according to the survey, the Chiefs are number one, 0.51%. The Commanders, number two, 0.058%. The Giants, 0.058. The Ravens, 0.059. The Chargers, 0.062. I do not believe this whatsoever. This is people doing breathalyzers on apps and things like that, and who you're a fan of. Like, go to the damn games, because there's no way you walk into Arrowhead and think, this is a sober group. If everybody at Arrowhead's the soberest in the NFL, What kind of drunks are the rest of the 31 other teams?
I also wouldn't be surprised, and I know this isn't the case for this study, but if you had a study that looked at like beer sales per person or something, I wouldn't be surprised if the Chiefs rank among the lowest in the league because of the tailgating atmosphere that exists. But I mean, if you've stood in line to get into a Chiefs game, that is the drunkest crowd you've probably ever been a part of. I'll say this, though. I went to Lambeau 2 years ago when the Chiefs went up there.
They drank up there.
And MVS dropped that ball late in the game.
Oh, yeah.
Pacheco got ejected for
that one
somebody.
Time he dropped the ball.
Just a crazy final sequence. Yeah, right. That was a drunk crowd. And they are proud of that, too. There's nothing else to do up here is what they said.
All these night games the Chiefs are on, man, they just sit on a drink, man.
Man.
I've always said this, Nathan, and I said beer for free, $20 to pee. But I think people would start to find a way to pee down the aisle. I think people would wear depends. To be honest with you, I think they would.
Unfortunately, they're already doing that in some cases at the Chiefs game, Bink. I don't know the last time you sat in the nosebleeds.
Free beer and $20 to go pee. Just try it out and see if it'd work. Anyway, I digress. Vern, by the way, coming up at 7:30. 7 o'clock, we go back to some Kansas City Chiefs before we get into Norm. From Cheers, passed away today, and it sucks. We'll get to that at the end of the show next. Welcome back to 7 o'clock hour. Josh Vernier comes your way at 7:30. Vern's on deck show. Nathan Williams staying here producing Dead Operation as well. A little less action tonight, Nathan, as far as the weathermen. They had their Super Bowl last night. They get very, very excited. Cut sports down to about 35 seconds so they can talk about thunderstorms in Kansas City. I flip on Weather Channel, right? I flipped on Fox Weather, too. They're in Kansas City, man. You know it's bad if it's Kansas City. And if you see, like, storm-chasing vehicles in your area, Lee, I didn't see them this time, but they have been here in the past. You see them, and you see all those crazy-looking vehicles, go the other direction. Because you know what, Nathan? Those guys don't miss. They do not miss where the action is. But last night, we had a little bit of lull. We had big-time storms early on. There was a lull. And then, of course, the action came overnight as well, but a lot less action tonight. I was at the K one time, believe it or not, and when I'd go to like 50,000 times a year, and they actually evacuated everybody. Even the pregame show. Vern was doing the pregame show at the time. I was out there covering the Royals at that point. They made everybody leave. Even when he was on air, we had to leave and be evacuated from Kauffman. They all put us in that tunnel between Arrowhead in Kauffman.
Oh, that's a good place to
be. It's probably the safest place to be in the city because it's underground between them both. It's like a little city under there. It was unbelievable.
Boy, on the air, to cut the
pregame
show.
They cut it, man.
Off.
Vern, wow. It's like time to roll, Vern. So I was like, all right, let's go, Vern. I was going to stay in there and die with him, you know, because I'm a team guy.
Yeah. Yeah. I bet Vern feels the same way about you, Bink.
I'm a team guy. If Vern's going to die, I'm going to go with him. I'm going to try to hold on to him.
Yeah.
I'm not going to let him fly away. But he's married now. He's gaining a little weight, so he wouldn't fly away right now. But early on, he probably would have. I kid. I love Vern. But the NBA playoffs start tonight. I don't know if you're watching this. Minnesota and Oklahoma City tonight. I don't know if you're on that. The NHL. We got the Canes and the Panthers. Game one in that series is going to be good. So you got a little NHL and NBA going on right now, too. Then you got the Royals tonight. This is a good sports night, my friend.
It is. The conference finals are a good time, and Timberwolves Thunder might not be reaching out and grabbing me through the screen, but boy, just from at least nostalgia, Knicks and Pacers sure is.
I just like good games, man. And a lot of times the NHL, when you get the game sevens and, you know, we had the Blues, think they're going then 1.6 seconds left, the Winnipeg Jets.
Oh, what a game. Hockey's incredible.
Unbelievable.
I don't have to get invested into the storyline of the season. I can just flip it on in May and enjoy it.
Hockey is fun. You get the playoff beards going. Man, these dudes are tough to play every game. But anyway, the NBA, NHL playoffs going on as well. It's a ton of fun. And, of course, you got Kansas City Royals baseball coming up tonight as well from the West Coast. Vern comes your way at 7:30. So I did a lot of draft coverage. Me and Chris, we did a lot of draft stuff.
Is that so?
Yeah, we did a lot of draft stuff. So, and then, you know, after the draft, you're asked, you know, what grade would you give the Chiefs? What grade would you give them? I'm always cautious on that. I'll do it just for fun, but I always put that caveat on, just for fun. I don't know anything yet. I don't know anything yet until they play. Hell, Kaveri Russell thought he was a good pick by the Chiefs, and then boom. Sky Moore looked good until he wasn't. You know, there's things that look good until they're not. They get in the NFL camps, things change. I don't think you can truly grade something for about 2 or 3 years. Maybe 2 years, maybe if you look back at C.J. Stroud, say it was a home run, but he had kind of a rougher year last year than he did the year before, right? But 2022, I think, is pretty fair deal, right? So Pete Prisco, known Chiefs hater, believe it or not, although Prisco was always known as that, but lately he's been kind of pro-Chiefs. I don't know if you've noticed or not, but Pete's been kind of pro Kansas City Chiefs as far as that's concerned. This is the grade that Pete gave the Chiefs back in 2022. He gave them an A. He went back and regraded all these drafts. Like the Raiders, for instance, he gave a B to, and he went back and regraded it to an F. So you can clearly know who's good and who's bad and what happens in 3 years.
What would the Chiefs need to do to make that draft?
He gave him an A+. Okay. Gave him an A+. You think about the 2022 draft. It was insanity for the Chiefs. Like, they had to have it. That 23 Super Bowl with the Eagles. You had Nazi Johnson playing a little special team snap, played a little bit of defense in the postseason. Jalen Watson on that. Seventh rounder, Zay Pacheco, seventh rounder. That was good stuff. And that wasn't the top of your draft. The top was Trent McDuffie, who they made a move with for the Patriots to go down and beat the Buffalo Bills, who ended up drafting Kyir Elam, who ended up being terrible and is now gone from Buffalo. You got Karloftis in that, too. So you got McDuffie, Karloftis, Sky Moore. Okay. You're not going to hit on every one of them. Still on the team, though. And then Brian Cook, Leo Chanel, Josh Williams, Darian Kennard, which now he's now gone from the team, too, and Jalen Watson, Pacheco, and Ozzie Johnson. That's why they held up that Super Bowl ring.
The immediate significant contribution from the back half of that draft is crazy. And I'm not saying any of them are superstars, but Watson coming in, he won them the second game of the year against the Chargers with that pick six, that first Amazon game. He won that.
He won the playoffs, too.
And Pacheco hit the ground running, like you said, Najee Johnson on special teams. So even more than the top end talent, which they came away with two very good starters in the first round, McDuffie is maybe the best in the league at his position, if not, you know, closely behind guys like Sertan. It's that sixth, seventh round in that draft that just fascinate me at the talent.
I even think 21, when you go back to 21, it was Nick Bolton who was pick 58 because that was the year Orlando Brown came here. So you got pick 58 from the Ravens and they selected Nick Bolton. You selected Creed Humphrey in the second round. Also, you got Noah Gray in that draft. Also, you got Trey Smith in that draft, who hadn't given up a sack, didn't give up a sack all year. So you got starters out of that, but you have to hit in the drafts because that stays and keeps things cheaper. We all saw, you know, the contract they're giving to Brock Purdy, and everybody's going nuts. Oh, they're paying their quarterback. Well, you weren't before, and that's when you got to win because then you can pay everybody else. You don't have to worry. You can pay him seventh round Mr. Relevant money. But now you're paying him big money, so I'm curious how it'll go because now they ponied up and paid Fred Warner, paid George Kittle. They're paying all their stars. What's going to happen with the rest of the team? Because you got to draft well if you're going to pay top guys money.
Yeah. Yeah. I would go on record. I believe, and I'm not counting guys like Mahomes and Jones that were drafted while Veach was a scout, because I know maybe he might be credited for some of that. I think we're going to look back on Josh Simmons as one of, if not the best picks he makes in his entire tenure as GM.
I hope, man. I hope.
I'm in love with the pick. And I know
I'm
that,
not,
that's,
I'm not,
that's I know
one
that.
Of the ones I'm in love with the rest of the draft, though.
I know that.
Day two and day three, loved it. Loved every single one of it.
Yeah.
Now, that's a big if. If he pans out, that's great. You got tremendous value. If it works out, 100%.
I love the kid from California, the cornerback.
Oh, Noah Williams. Yeah, he's a stud.
Yeah, and the running back they picked up late. But no, I think the underlying, you know, the basis here is like, I have no reason to distrust the Chiefs medical team and their evaluation of his ability to recover based on what they've shown us.
They did it with Trey Smith.
Right? So
Trey Smith found, what's funny thing was, Trey Smith still had the Chiefs draft hat, even though he's sixth round. That you don't see sixth rounders with Chiefs draft hats because he fell hard.
Right. Yeah, and you would just be hard pressed to find a talent like Simmons anywhere remotely close to the Chiefs. They would have had to give up the resources it took for Mahomes to get up to draft a guy like Simmons normally.
Would it be bad if Luther Burden goes out and dominates and Simmons done?
I know you love Burden. I believe, and I've heard people in the league say, and close to the league say, that Simmons could have gone number four had he been healthy.
He would have been the top tackle had he been healthy.
Yeah, so there is. Brett Veach will never, I mean, we're planning on the Chiefs being in the AFC Championship game for the foreseeable future.
It's hard to doubt somebody at three rings.
There is never going to be a time where you have that level of talent at such a premium position again in Brett Veach's tenure. So it is so worth the swing, in my opinion.
And I loved Xavier Worthy the year before. I love that even though he was undersized, I look at a guy that led Texas in receptions and yards for three straight years. two out of those 3 years, he led them in touchdowns. But anyway, I gave a little bit of assignment before we turn things over to Vern and watch the incredible Royals, that only one team in the American League has more wins, the Detroit Tigers. That's the list. That's who's got more wins than the Kansas City Royals. Winners 3-1 last night. We'll see what they do tonight. Looking forward to that. But George Wendt, Norm, passed away today, age 76. Got his BA at Rockhurst right here in KCMO. The uncle of Sudeikis. So he has his local ties, but was an all-timer on sitcoms. Norm. So I want to know, and this, I like to see age gaps here, because clearly I'm in a different age group than you. And an older one, much older one.
Thank you, Beak.
But I do want to know who you consider your top guys. Also, text line, J Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7965. Who is your top 3 to 5? I'll give you 5, but you don't have to give me 5. Top 3 to 5, if you want, sitcom stars. They don't have to be the star of the show. They could be just a role player on a sitcom. But who are your top 5 ever? We'll do that next. Welcome back to After Hours. Jay Binkley, Nathan Williams. Vern comes your way. Vern's on deck show at 7:30. But a very sad day today. Norm passed away at age 76. What a classic the Cheers guy was.
Afternoon, everybody.
Norm!
How you doing, Norm? What do you know?
Not enough.
Afternoon, everybody.
Norm!
Norman.
Hey, Norm.
Ever that stuff? Better give me a tall one, in case I like it. Afternoon, everybody.
Hey,
Norman.
How you doing, Norm?
Cut the small talk and give me a beer.
Cut the small talk, give me a beer. He had that the tie, you know, half done. He went to drink his beer. He goes to the spot, sit there with Cliff, talk about life, talk about baseball, talk about everything. Just enjoy a beer. But Norm is on my list, my friend. I said, name your top 5 sitcoms. Sitcoms just not the same way they used to be. Just not. But my top 5 would have been number 5, Ray Romano. Everybody loves Raymond. That's funny because he wrote it and he's just funny. I mean, everything in there was just funny one-liners and everything from the dad, Frank, and all that. But it's fun. Doug Heffernan, King of Queens. I just always enjoyed kind of that humor, going out to the garage, drinking beers with your friends, heading down the bar. Everybody's got their local bar they go to or whatever in good sitcoms. Al Bundy, obviously a 4-touchdown fame from Polk High, Married with Children. Norm from Cheers would come in at number 2. And number 1, Hayden Fox. The great Hayden Fox, the coach of Minnesota State, Craig T. Nelson. And maybe you like Dobb or Dubinsky. Maybe you like somebody else, but I'm with Hayden Fox. And you, my friend, have maybe seen some King of Queens, maybe, and maybe some Everybody Loves Raymond reruns.
Seen some Everybody Loves Raymond, yep.
Which you can still find that anywhere.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think everyone that you mentioned at least is something that I've heard of, right? Something that I know is a big deal. But what I specifically went with some of the newer, maybe, sitcoms to sort of differentiate my, you know, the generation and give some more loves, you know, spread the love out.
All right.
And I think specifically my number 1 you might find interesting. But number 3, and this is just Catherine O'Hara is amazing in everything she's in. I just love her. And her character in Schitt's Creek, Moira Rose, is maybe the funniest just one-line delivery character I've seen in a long time. And number 2, speaking of that same type of humor, is Larry David as Larry David in Curb.
Oh, yeah.
There's
good.
Nothing better than that.
That's good.
There's nobody better at just those small, simple annoyances in life and making those funny. There's nobody
Larry
better
David
at that,
fun.
In my opinion. And then number 1, I thought you'd find this interesting because Al Bundy, Ed O'Neill, who plays Al Bundy, is also in this show. But Phil Dunphy from Modern Family.
Okay.
I think that is the best example of...
But the Ed O'Neill from that.
He's... Yeah, yeah, Ed O'Neill is the father-in-law in that show for Phil Dunphy. But Phil Dunphy is just loves his family, goofy guy, family man. I think he's great. Those are my 3.
Text line says, you know that he was a Rockhurst U alum, George Wendt. I've mentioned that about 3 times. He went to Rockhurst, and he's Jason Sudeikis' uncle. As a matter of fact, his George Wendt's sister is Jason's father. That's how that works with Norm. But that's a good list, my friend. I bet Vern, if we asked Vern, it'd be Seinfeld. 100% be Seinfeld. Vern can recite like everything from that movie or the TV show.
Yeah, and I think Vern and the guys from the morning show get into something Seinfeld
Fesco would be
every
Fesco would be all over
single
that
time that he's on the air with them. Yeah, I think they all love that show. But like I said, Bob Fesco, you say the word Cheers, the segment's done. You're talking about Cheers for the rest of the segment.
I just, and someone says text line 816 likes Homer Simpson. They put Homer Simpson number one. That's fine. That's your generation. That's who you think is number one TV character of all time. That's fine. Everybody's got their taste. But Norm, to me, epitomizes Americans, man. Leaving work, he's like, man, there's only one thing you want to do. You want to go sit at that bar. You want to sit at that corner bar. You want your own stool. And you want to order beer. Do you know they sold that bar from Cheers on eBay not too long ago? Not eBay. It's one of the auction houses. Went for like $600,000, something like that. But wouldn't that be cool to have in your basement the actual bar from Cheers? I actually went there one time, the Bull and Finch Club in Boston. I had to go, man. Had to get the Cheers ad, had to go to Cheers.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, that's so cool. Going to like scenes and stuff, the ones that come to mind is like when I was in San Francisco, going to the Full House, you know, oh, yeah, places, or How I Met Your Mother places in New York City. That sort of stuff is right up my alley. So, yeah, I bet that was a great time.
It's tough unless you stream the Camp Peacock. You can see a lot of these things. I know on the there's a classic TV channel that shows a lot of the Raymonds, like every night, like ad nauseum, they'll play those all the time. Cheers are kind of harder to find. I'm surprised they're so hard to find. They're streamed, and you can find Coach streamed and stuff too. But Amazon's picked up a couple of them, and you have that. But it's sometimes tough to find those old great sitcoms.
So is that one of those shows where the entire show is not on one single streaming service?
Dude, when I grew up, I was watching reruns like The Munsters, The Addams Family, and I Love Lucy.
Yeah. This is saying that you can catch Cheers on Paramount, Hulu, Apple TV, Amazon Prime, Disney Plus. That doesn't make any sense. It sounds like they have episodes sort of scattered across the, you know.
Yeah, they're all over the place. I always like going where you're sequential. Like The Office.
Right.
Like Michael, I didn't put The Office in here, but Michael Scott's definitely should be in this top five, to be honest with you. He should be. He deserves to be because, like, I just really laugh when I watch that sitcom. And Dwight Schrute and all that. I mean, it's just. Were you a fan of The Office?
Oh, I love The Office. I can quote way too much of it.
Okay, it's kind of your generation.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the original. I mean, well, it was just so groundbreaking for a lot of different reasons in the way that sitcoms progressed. But yeah, when I was young, The Office was all the rage. I mean, it still is. Still is.
Here's for the 913, some WKRP in Cincinnati love. Getting some love for the old sitcoms. But yeah, man, that humor is tough to find, and it's tough when you go back generations. They didn't have the cell phones and things like that in some of these eras, and it's just tough. But the comedy was great, man. Like, the comedy was great. But going and sitting at a bar and talking ball, like with Sam Malone, the bartender or whatever, they know what you're drinking. Everybody wants to go to a bar where you sit down, they know exactly the beer you want. Exactly the kind of beer, exactly the height of the beer. Like, every bar that you dream of would be that. So, yeah, so George Went, Mr. The Bears guy. The Bears. Good stuff. Josh Vernier comes your way next. Royals in San Francisco, game two. See if the Royals can parlay this one. Michael Lorenzen tonight, him the major pipes. Going, it scares everybody. Scares everybody away. His nobody's going to charge the mound on just, him.
Yeah.
Whew. Nobody. I think Lorenzen's safe to do whatever the hell he wants. I would like to see the Royals fight somebody. They need to, man. Need to bring in that inner 2015 Royals and fight somebody.
See what happens in St. Louis in a couple of weeks. You never know.
Yeah, we'll see. They owe St. Louis a little bit. They definitely owe St. Louis a little bit. Josh Vernier comes your way to next. Nathan Williams, awesome work with you, my friend. We'll talk to you guys later.